Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Give a Decision Briefing, Part 1 of 2.
As always, our content has been crafted by humans and is now certified by the Proudly Human Corporation. The questions this cast answers are, how do I prepare a decision brief? What hidden factors do I need to consider when asking for a decision from my boss? And why should I pre-wire a decision briefing?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. We are not anti-AI, but we are pro-human where it counts. Purely Human believes AI has an important role in fields like bioengineering and energy, but human relationships, those are kind of different. And that's why Manager Tools is now Purely Human certified. Every tool, every framework, every episode comes from real human experience and expertise, because managing people is the most human thing you can do. Visit us today online at manager-tools.com. Today, we are recording a classic Career Tools podcast. One of the Hall of Famers, I want to say it was originally released in 2011. I might be misremembering that. And one that we've heard quite a bit about from our community members.
Oh, from the community, definitely.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's they that have used the process, or if you'll remember in the case of Brian Hanks, their children have used this process on them. Many of us find that when we need a decision from our boss, we can't get to one. I mean, we desire for our boss to make this decision, but we seem to somehow struggle with getting our manager, our bosses to make that decision, which results in most of us simply venting to our colleagues and complaining about how the boss won't make any decisions and they're waiting on this thing. And complaining doesn't move the needle. It certainly doesn't change our boss's behavior, and it gets us nowhere. So today we're talking about how to alleviate that.
Look, the reason bosses stall on decisions is pretty straightforward. If you boil it down, decision theory, they'll tell you the pain of deciding outweighs the pain of not deciding. Right? I don't get in trouble for not deciding in the vast majority of cases. And once she commits to a course of action, she owns the risk of it being wrong. But if she waits, she doesn't intend that. Your boss doesn't intend that, but the cost falls largely on us. We have less time to execute. We have more uncertainty relative to navigation and so on. So from a lot of bosses' perspectives, for a lot of good reasons, inaction is pretty painless. And what the decision brief does is totally change your boss's perception of how important something is and makes it so there's literally no place to hide relative to what they need to know and why, how they want to know it. And so we have to change that calculus. And so we're going to discuss how to frame a decision in a way that actually compels our boss to make a decision. Not that we can actually compel them, but they will absolutely be aware that this is comprehensive. It's detailed. They've covered all the points, and I owe them a decision, basically.
Yeah. And we can certainly all, as employees, do a better job of persuading our managers to make those decisions for us much more quickly, thus giving us the time that we need to do all of our activities, etc. All right. So today's outline, and it's a big one today, folks. This is for sure going to be a multi-part podcast. We are going to start by covering the first piece of our outline, that is the Career Tools Decision Brief Model. The acronym for that we use is SOCR, which stands for Situation, Options, Comparison, Recommendation, Request, followed by three other points that we want to make sure we cover. Always consider the two hidden factors of time and risk. Then use SOCR always, longer or shorter versus important enough or not. And then the last piece is effective decision briefs are virtually always pre-wired. And for longtime listeners, they'll also know what that means, but we're going to talk about that at the end of this guidance.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorites. It doesn't get enough traction. Pre-wired.
Should we record that one day?
Definitely, yeah. So, okay, let's start with the first one. Use the Career Tools decision brief model. Look, lots of bosses don't make decisions when we need them to, because we haven't effectively told them what we need, and we haven't done anything more than send an email or pop by and mention that there's a decision waiting. And if that's all we're doing, we're sending a message that the decision we're asking for isn't that important. frankly, I think in a lot of cases, people should just take action and figure out, you know, and then find out later whether it was the right one or not in terms of avoiding bureaucracy.
Get in trouble for the making of the wrong decision, not in trouble for the not doing anything.
Yeah, I think Patton, the famous U.S. general, said a good decision implemented violently now beats a perfect decision implemented later. If you don't know about decision briefs, we're not talking about a brand one, and we have modified one of the most common ones out there based on our experience. But basically, you need to elevate your game if you want to have your boss make a decision. And when you elevate your game, you will elevate the importance of the decision in his or her mind. And the way we do that is by taking the time to put together a briefing. And, you know, if you're not willing to put together the briefing, it's fine, but then you don't get to whine. Well, you can whine if you want, but it's sour grapes. It's not going to get you anywhere. As I've said before, whining is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. We do that by putting together a professional briefing, options and analysis, risks, recommendations, clear. Okay. Be perfectly clear. There are four options. I recommend option Bravo, option Charlie, whatever they are. That's the CT decision briefing model. Situation. Again, Sarah said soccer. It's S-O-C-R-R. It's not spelled exactly like soccer, but it doesn't matter. It sounds like it as an acronym. Situation, options, comparison, recommendation, which everybody forgets, and then request. And now look, folks, we admit it's an American model. Otherwise, we would have called it football. But it'll work anywhere. And we've seen it work all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And folks, what you do, really, essentially, is that every time you need a decision from your boss, you go through this five-step process. Now, for those of you who are licensees, you will know, or you'll be able to see, I suppose, if you go to the podcast page for this particular cast, there is a PowerPoint template with basic guidelines so that our licensees, again, who have access to premium content, can just download it and fill in the blanks. And folks, to give you a sense of how basic, how standard this template is in updating this podcast, which was, again, released in 2011, I looked at that ancillary documentation, the PowerPoint slides, to determine whether or not any updates were needed. And the only issue I found was that the footer there said 2011, as opposed to, 2026? So I didn't update it. I'm like, you know what? Folks can update their own footer. I mean, it's that basic. It's that standard. So if you don't have access to that, don't think it's magic. But also, yes, we do want you to become a licensee. So do that.
Yeah. Now, some of you are going to hesitate. You're going to worry that you'll get the details wrong or you're going to miss something. For a lot of us, I think going to the formality of a briefing makes any sort of hole in our work more obvious, any sort of lack of information in our knowledge more obvious, or it'll expose any weakness in our thinking or any missed assumption. We get that, but of course, wouldn't you rather have thought that through before you go in and pop your head into the boss's office and then suddenly say, hey, I need to think, and he or she starts asking you a bunch of questions and you don't have good answers? I mean, you look like an amateur. There's no way you're going to get a decision in that situation. No way.
Or worse yet, in my opinion, your boss makes the decision that you wanted them to make and you haven't thought through all of the things deeply. And now you made a recommendation very off the cuff without thinking it through to your manager, who then said, sure, let's do it that way. And then you do it and you were wrong.
You were wrong.
Because you didn't think it through. You were wrong. Exactly.
Most of us are also unaware, and it's easier to stay doing what you're doing. There's an old saying, change is hard, you go first. But most of us are unaware of the risks that are associated with our existing ineffective behaviors, not giving a decision brief, because we've become comfortable with them. You haven't used this format up until now. Don't therefore assume that there have been no negative repercussions. For all you know, your boss says, well, he shoots from the hip, but he hits the target a lot of times, so I tolerate his misses. Well, okay. If your boss mentions that to some other boss above him who is particular about getting things right, they're going to be like, well, that person's not for me. I'm not going to promote them because this person shoots from the hip. And you don't know it, right? You'll never find out that that conversation ever occurred, right?
Mm-hmm.
There have been repercussions. Your boss has delayed decisions many times because you haven't done this work for her, okay? Making one of the many decisions she has to make a little bit easier. By the way, you do this several times and the boss will come in on your fourth or fifth time and go, yeah, whatever you say, I'm good.
I don't want another briefing, dude. You got this. I trust you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know how to reduce my risk to the point where I can take the decision. And what that also means is you'll probably, many people would then say, well, I don't need to do the process anymore. No, that's not what you should do. The briefing is actually the outcome of a process, and the process is what makes the decision so good. It's not the briefing. It's the process of going through it and considering the situation.
Getting ready for the briefing.
Now, there are presentation risks. You're going to be a little bit more formal here, but they're far smaller. Those presentation risks are far smaller than the decision risks and the action risks and the reputational risks of not doing this simple preparation and delivery. The first couple of times you do it, you won't get it right exactly, but you'll get major credit for knowing what to do and how to do it. And if you're listening to this and you've never heard of a decision brief before, there are people who speak privately after you've given a briefing saying, he doesn't know how to give a decision brief, does he? Yeah, we do that all the time at our level, and he doesn't know how to do it. And if your boss has never seen it either, you might think, ooh, that's not a good idea. Oh, no. When your boss sees it for the first time, he'll use your model if he has to get a briefing done to his boss, a decision brief for his boss, believe me. So you got to prepare the briefing because you have to go through the process of really feeling good about Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, or Delta, or whatever. And then you've also got to schedule time to brief your boss once you do. And we're going to tell you how to prepare it, what the basic components are, and how to think about each part.
Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the first component then, and that is the initial S in the soccer model, situation. Now, actually, what I will say at this point is, situation is actually the second part of the briefing. With any standard briefing that you're going to give to your boss or give to higher level managers or at an executive level session, you need to start with an introduction, which basically in manager tools terminology would be called the purpose. So for a decision briefing, you're going to need to tell your boss or the group that you're going to give a briefing, and the purpose of which is to obtain a decision on whatever issue that you need a decision on.
Perfect. I love that. In fact, if you could own that first sentence really tightly, like, you know, the first line of a song or something, and memorize it and say exactly that in one sentence with maybe only one comma, it's really a powerful, it will get everybody's attention in the room. Don't say we're going to talk about X, or hey, we need to go over our options, or hey, I just want to share with you what my thinking is. That's not what you're there for. You're there for a decision.
I mean, I wish we had a podcast all about the power of a purpose, which also, by the way, is a catchy way of saying it. So yay me. But just because I get asked a lot of questions about what's the best way to keep my meetings focused? What's the best way to, when I'm having a conversation, keep a conversation focused? And the answer to me almost always is, upon beginning a meeting, the moment you kick off, give your purpose so that everyone is marching toward the same target. Essentially. So for the initial purpose statement for this briefing, it could sound something like, good morning. The purpose of my briefing today is to obtain a decision from you regarding which vendor to choose for supporting our new location on the Monterey Peninsula.
Now, look, I hinted at this earlier. We're not recommending you say, I'm here to brief you on our location on the Monterey Peninsula. If you do that, more senior level folks are going to immediately assume that you're giving them an information briefing, which is just an update. And by the way, there is a standard format for that as well. You might think, well, but I'm about to tell them that I'm going to need a decision. But by that time, it's going to be too late. If you're the third item on the agenda, don't say, let's talk about the management, the Monterey Peninsula site. You don't say that. You say, Good morning. The purpose of my briefing here today is to obtain a decision from you regarding which vendor to choose for supporting our new location on the Monterey Peninsula. It doesn't have to be its own meeting. You can be an agenda item in a larger meeting, and you want to take control of that agenda or agenda item. And look, it's possible that your boss will tolerate the sloppiness. But why be sloppy in front of your boss when you can be crisp? Why lose an opportunity to practice being crisp for when you need it in front of an executive group when you're going to be really having a significant impact on your own career? I can tell you, as I rose through the ranks, I look back with embarrassment at the fact that my results were just so good that I could get away with being unaware of all these systems and processes that everybody else knew all about. And I didn't. Luckily, I knew about pre-wiring, but gee whiz, I regretted it enormously. The number of times where I just didn't show well. My numbers protected me, but I didn't show well.
Yeah. Now, folks, look, remember, it's not just about the words that you're saying here. You've got to say those words quickly, almost immediately, that the purpose of your briefing is to obtain a decision. Now, if you don't, what you're really in danger of is sinking into the mire of everyone else's briefings. I mean, you didn't know about this till probably today, so you can assume your other peers don't know about this either. And therefore, your briefing will be cast as the others, that is, an information briefing. So, lest you doubt it, we'll be emphatic. If your decision briefing is at any time mistaken for an information briefing, you will not achieve your purpose because you will not get a decision.
Yeah, that's right.
And why won't you get a decision? Because the moment that you're giving an information briefing, your audience is going to tune out. I mean, they'd prefer to save a little bit of time by reading your slides or a one-page memo or an email, because that's why a lot of people created it, so that they wouldn't have to get information briefings from you anymore, or something else, any other way of consuming this information in a way that summarizes your points so that they can just move on and do what they want to do, which is decide on stuff.
Yes.
So you got to catch their attention. You got to catch their ear immediately with the need for a decision. Otherwise, you're going to lose them. People are going to tune out. They won't even hear the rest of the briefing, even though you may go back and clean up the mess later and say something about we need a decision today. You've already lost them. The target is no longer pointed in a singular direction.
Yeah. So get this, folks. We just spent 5 minutes talking just about the purpose, which doesn't even have a letter in the soccer acronym. All right. But don't miss it. State your purpose early and immediately. If you really want to be clever, follow the Army rule. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. It would sound something like this. Good morning. The purpose of my briefing today is to obtain a decision from you regarding which vendor to choose for supporting our new location on the Monterey Peninsula. I'm going to share the basic situation and facts with you, lay out the options we're considering. Then I'll do a comparison of the options, followed by my recommendation for which option to choose. Then I'll ask for your decision. If you do that, unlike Sarah letting them believe it's an information briefing, an update, hey, just a status input here, every single person who might be involved in that decision is going to be leaning forward. They're going to be saying, oh, okay, I'm involved now. I'm on the hook.
Before you said that, Mark, the leaning forward comment, I was feeling that inside me. Like, as you were saying those words, I felt a sense of urgency, like a sense of lean in, a sense of, okay, we got to do something here, versus the leaning back kind of relaxed feeling of an information briefing. So I'm hoping that folks also heard and felt it that way too. You can see how it instills that sense of urgency, which, folks, is what you want. You want to get toward a decision today, and instilling a sense of urgency is exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and if you tell them, this is what I'm going to do, they will say, oh, there's structure here. There's forethought. There's preparation. Everybody else says, hey, I want to give you an update, da 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 da, and they sound uncrisp. They just meander, and everybody's like, well, if you're going to meander, I'm going to meander too. I'm going to check my phone.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Okay, so now that we've got the purpose put to bed, we are on to the first point in the model, which is the capital S at the beginning. It is situation. And what we're going to do in this first part of the Career Tools Decision Briefing is lay out all of the facts and basic parameters surrounding our decision. Essentially, situation is where you talk about the facts surrounding the decision. You're given a little bit of backup, a little bit of history, if you will. So, for instance, if we're asking for a decision, again, to fund a retail site on the Monterey Peninsula, and the decision is between two different choices, or no choice at all, really, no site at all, you would describe the market research, site development work, competitor locations, local construction costs, environmental impact reports, any other background information that's going into helping you come up with making a decision here.
Yeah. Another example, if you were asking to buy a new piece of manufacturing operation software, say to monitor inventory levels, you'd include in the situation present costs of inventory handling and or loss, time it takes to prepare reports using existing system, cost of maintenance of existing system, cost of maintenance of the new system, cost of the system itself, all that stuff, everything, all the facts.
All of it, all the facts. And folks, this is not history. And that is a really, really common mistake. And it comes essentially from the idea of a narrative or making a dramatic presentation. And so much of what we know about drama.
You're killing me. I'm sorry.
So much of what we know about drama comes from stories. And stories are chronological and therefore have a history. But we don't want you to fall into the trap of giving your audience this history of how you or the team got to where we are today. The situation, the one we're talking about here, is essentially where you are now. And you focus on the facts of the now rather than all of the other things that got you where you are today, basically. Now, one of the key phrases, one of the things to watch for, one of the ways that you know you may have slipped into dramatic history territory is and then. If you keep saying, and then,
it's not a timeline.
No, exactly. Asking for a decision is not the time for you to be weaving together a dramatic story. We want you to let the power of your recommendation and the strength of your comparison be the drama. Avoid telling stories, despite what anyone else is going to tell you. Because folks, the reason that these lies propagate is because individuals think them true and keep telling them. You may hear that drama and stories are the way to find this decision, and it's not. It's only for really big and or unique decisions, and still requires the workmanlike value of the Career Tools Decision Briefing soccer model.
Yeah, I see this all the time. People think they're going to give an update on all the stuff they've done. People don't want to know what you've done. They want to know what the factors are that weigh on the decision so that they can make their own determination, whether they agree with the weighting that you have or whatever. They don't want a story. Oh, gosh, well, no.
And look, folks, some of you, based upon your DISC score, your DISC profile, your profile has a propensity toward explaining things in a long timeline going back to the beginning. The high C's. High S's, you have a propensity to going all the way back into history because, you know, the current doesn't even make sense till I tell you all about everything that's happened before now. But you got to stop thinking like an individual who wants to weave together a story and start thinking like, in this case, a decision maker. Decision makers don't need your story. They need to know what they need to make a decision.
Yep, exactly. Look, in fact, if people know that a decision brief is coming, let's assume somebody's reviewed your slides, if you have slides or whatever, or you tell your boss you're going to do it fairly formally or whatever. It's possible that you're going to be encouraged to skip the situation if your decision brief is the culmination of a series of information briefings to the same group. We know all this. Move along. Okay, yeah, we know that. It's probably how it will sound to you. Generally, our guidance here is to resist that suggestion or that compulsion from your boss. Now, look, we don't know who you'll be presenting to, so it's possible if you cross them, they'll crucify you. No pun intended there. Generally, we recommend you counter with, I'd love to in the interest of time, but there are a couple of situational points that the comparisons are built on, so I'll just cover them quickly and get right to the options and comparisons. In that way, you acknowledge the request, you say you're going to speed up, which is the whole point of skipping something they think they already know, and we do recommend you be somewhat more brief than you might have planned on being in the situation point of the soccer model, but please don't skip the situation first step entirely. Not everyone who has been at every meeting heard everything you or others have briefed, okay? Different folks hear different things based on their role and their interest. Further, you've likely built your presentation on following your logic about what you know you will have already said. Skip too quickly, and you may regret something you left out in the situation by going too fast. When you have to go back and recover it, you make the person to encourage you to go fast look bad. You're protecting your boss if he or she says, just skip that. Say, actually, boss, I'll cover it quickly, but I just want to be on the same page. Because if you get to slide three and the boss or somebody else says, say, go back again. What are we looking at here? Why are there three locations? That makes no sense. And again, that makes your boss look bad. And when you do that, when you have to go back a couple of times, a slide or two in a presentation, the total presentation ends up being longer than if you'd follow the logic of the presentation to begin with.
And less persuasive. I mean, less pointed, less targeted, less you're jumping around, people are getting frustrated. They're like, oh, maybe we probably need a briefing here for informational purposes. The whole thing starts to unravel. Yeah, love it. We're bringing two of our most powerful conferences to Atlanta on March 17th and 18th, and would love to see you there. On March 17th, the Effective Manager Conference delivers the proven tools, frameworks, and strategies that have helped thousands of managers build stronger teams and get better results. And on March 18th, the Effective Communicator Conference takes you deep into the art of clear, persuasive, and impactful communication, a skill that pays dividends at every level of your career. Attend one or attend both. Either way, you're going to walk away with practical guidance you can put to work immediately. Visit us at manager-tools.com/register to learn more today. Okay, let's move into number two, which is the options, the O in the soccer model. After you frame the situation, describe the options being considered in the decision. You don't start by describing what makes them look good or look bad at this point. All you do is list the possible options, and that's pretty much it. You don't have to describe the key differences yet. Just show the options and give a very brief overview description.
Yeah. When we have done these, okay, and I have given probably 20 or 30, I think 20 or 30 is probably right, maybe a little more. I did some in the Army. We have really struggled to not just naturally go into each option's pluses and minuses right away. Folks, don't do it. If you start talking about option A and its strengths and weaknesses, and then you talk about option B and its strengths and weaknesses, you're going to start a discussion about each one before everybody understands what all the options are. Everybody has to start from the same level playing field. You're going to rush. You're not going to cover everything. So it'll come across as biased. Believe it or not, it'll come across as biased. People will think you're recommending something when in fact you're not. You're just going over the positives because you're trying to get a little ahead of yourself. Don't do it. Lay the groundwork. Talk about each of the options very briefly. In fact, I would say options is the shortest part, except maybe, may I have your decision, right? After I make my recommendation, then I ask, can I have your decision in the last R of soccer? And that's pretty darn short. And if they think you're biased, particularly if you're biased against their choice or their recommendation or their idea, they're going to interrupt, they're going to tune you out, and it'll reduce the effectiveness of your briefing and ultimately the decision.
Yeah. And folks, not only do we want you to avoid accidentally going into pluses and minuses right away.
In the situation portion, in the first step.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We also want to be careful not to describe the analysis that you're going to use either. And there's a really simple, selfish reason, but there's also a better one too. The initial simple reason is that the moment you describe the criteria, the audience, in taking or hearing the further options, is going to start to apply it. Further, they will not only apply it, they will ask you to fill in certain parts of it. So in perhaps whatever way serves their interests or hurts another person's interests. Because remember, if there are multiple options, you may not be the only person in the room who possesses a bias. The other people in the room probably do as well. And again, this causes you to be very likely to be perceived as even more biased, because whatever details are asked for are likely to be notably different. Further, if you share one, you share multiple, or again, you're biased. Finally, the moment you answer one audience member's questions, the gates are open and let the floodwaters rush right on in. Mentioning criteria now means getting into analysis now, which is inherently ineffective and inefficient. And again, it's the whole thing starts to unravel. It's not a cohesive, here are all the options. You start digging into some, but you probably didn't dig into the first one. So then maybe you dig in on the second one, and then you're going to have to go back to the first one at the end. It's not covered well.
Yeah. So look, let's take this step further. If someone asks for a piece of data, even if it's data that causes your recommended option to appear an early favorite, simply respond by saying, in the interest of the briefing, I'm going to hold off on details of each option until I share the criteria, and I'll be there in just a minute. The fact is, describing the options doesn't take long, but there will be a lot of stress and pressure put on you to want to dig out, to build them out a little bit. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Let's start comparing them. Let's have a dogfight here. You do not want to do that. It doesn't take very long, and you're going to get to the comparisons quickly enough. And so you need to be willing to stand your ground on that. Hey, I know you guys want to talk about that. It's way better if we just do this step by step by step. Let's build this house the right way, brick by brick by brick.
Mm-hmm. And folks, you got to remember that you are going to have some status quo folks in virtually every decision briefing. We're not calling them do nothing folks. And that's kind of a negative connotation.
I would go even further. I would say, not only are there folks in the audience, we want status quo, in other words, doing nothing, to be one of the options, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the options.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's got to be one of the options. So yeah, we want to be able to consider all of them, again, wholeheartedly, fully, without bias, essentially.
Yeah.
And folks, there's a reason for this inclusion that is made obvious with a simple example. So, suppose you're trying to decide which video system to buy for checking quality on manufactured parts. And let's say there are only two vendors, both of whom you have a relationship with. The price differences are notable, but so are the quality differences. And you could justify either choice, one because it's more cost conscious, and the other because it's more reliable. And the group could argue and not agree and decide to wait because both are expensive. They are both choices as good, but pricey.
Yeah, they're good choices, but again, too expensive.
Exactly. Now, if you include the status quo, which produces errors on the 3% of parts when customers expect 0.03% errors, you make really clear the risk of not choosing either two options. Without status quo, doing nothing compared to expensive purchases can look like a cost savings, but by including the status quo, it's much more obvious that the choice isn't between two options, rather three, each with its own strengths and its own weaknesses. A significant weakness in a status quo solution may make a good decision out of choosing between two weak versus also weak. Exactly. And thus, your job is to drive a good decision. Thus, the status quo must be one of your options. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We hope you'll join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now, help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.